Coming up on Golf Today, big smile, big game, big win. Victor Hovland takes the FedEx Cup in grand style. He dominated Eastlake. He owned the playoffs. Should he be player of the year? And Stacey Lewis fills out her roster for the Solheim Cup with three captain's picks. Who got the call and who will stay home? The captain hops on to discuss her process. Plus a round table on the Ryder Cup on the eve of Zach Johnson's most critical decision so far. Who to bring to Rome 1 month from now? Ciao Bella, it's Golf Today.
Ladies and gentlemen, your 2023 FedEx Cup champion, Victor Hovland.
Man of the moment, what a moment it was for the 25-year-old from Oslo, Norway. Victor Hovland wins the FedEx Cup in the gloaming at Eastlake. Little handshake coming with the commissioner. Now watch his eyes when he gets the trophy. Right to the names. Just want to double check. Yeah, it's there, Victor. Biggest moment of his career. Damon Hack alongside Eamon Lynch, Golf Week magazine. What a Sunday it was.
It really was, and now we're going to move seamlessly, it would appear, from talking about the most lucrative day in golf and lucrative golf for professionals to talking about legacy golf in events that they don't actually pay you to play.
No question, it's match play season. But how about what Victor Hovland was able to accomplish on the final day of these playoffs, a round of 63? You had Xander Schauffele doing everything he could to make the day interesting. And I tell you what, Victor had an answer every time.
He really did. Picture Xander Schauffele here. I mean, you're starting six strokes back. Obviously, it's a big deficit. But you shoot 62, and you only gain one stroke on the guy that you're actually playing against. And to me, it's a testament to how Victor Hovland goes about his business. Because what happened to him on the 16th hole at Oak Hill in the PGA Championship? He hung with Brooks Koepka, the biggest and most effective closer in major championships in the modern era, certainly in the last decade or so. And he held with him for 15 holes. One swing undid Victor Hovland that day. That could have sent a guy into a tailspin very easily. He turns around, wins the Memorial, wins the two playoff events and walks away with the FedEx Cup.
Yeah, strong chin from the 25-year-old from Oslo, Norway. As you mentioned, it is match play season. We're less than a month away from the 2023 Solheim Cup at Finca Cortesín Golf Club in Spain. The Europeans will be trying to make it three wins in a row. And the U.S. Solheim Cup team coming together, comprised of 12 players. Right now, it's seven players in the U.S. Solheim Cup points list at the end of the qualifying period. And then the top two players on the Rolex Women's World Golf Rankings not already qualified. That's Rose Zhang and Lexi Thompson. Which means that the captain, Stacey Lewis, has a little more work to do. Three captain's picks to come, and the captain herself joins us now, a two-time major champ, Stacey Lewis. We appreciate your time. Your three captain's picks are.
Good morning, guys. My three captain's picks are Allie Ewing, Cheyenne Knight, and Angel Yin.
Some names that LPGA fans are quite familiar with, and here you see the resumes. Allie Ewing, of course, she actually was named to the team in 2019 to replace a then-injured Stacey Lewis. You see Cheyenne Knight makes her Solheim Cup debut. She won the 2012 KPMG Stacey Lewis Junior Girls Open, and Angel Yin, two top tens in majors this year. 3-2-1 across two Solheim Cups in 2017 and 2019. So, Stacey, how would you describe this process of putting this team together?
It was relatively stress-free, to be honest. I all along, you know, these girls have all, they've all played their way onto the team. You know, it wasn't really too difficult for me, to be honest. And it got easier yesterday when Andrea went out there with a very, very clutch performance and finished 13th and jumped up into the points list. And my decisions were basically done because, you know, these three that I announced today, they were on my list prior, you know, for the last month or so. You know, I wanted them there. And I think it's the preparation. We've been very prepared behind the scenes with our stats and understanding their games that nothing's really been a surprise the last few weeks.
Stacey, going back to these three picks, I'm curious what specifically registered with each of these three women. Is it a case of the statistics that you mentioned? Mm-hmm. Is it balancing out skill sets? Is it personality fits in the team room? What were the metrics that mattered most to you in making this decision?
Yeah, so for each one, it was a little bit different. Allie, you know, I really wanted a veteran voice, a calming voice, and she's really solid. Tita Green, very solid, very consistent, can literally pair up with anybody. We've looked at all of our pairing stuff, and she's one that could play with almost anybody on the team. And then you go to Angel. Obviously, her play in majors was kind of caught my eye. She finished top 30 in every major this year. Her play on Bermuda grass also caught my eye there, and then her length. And then Cheyenne, just her overall play, just kind of like Allie, very consistent tee to green. She's very good around the greens. I think she went, I think, seven straight top 20 finishes early in the year and kind of capped it off with a win. So, again, it's good play more than anything, but then they individually have things that have helped us kind of fill up some spots on the team.
Stacey, speaking of numbers and math, I couldn't help but notice how many 20-somethings you have on this team. 25-year-olds, there are five of them. You have a couple of 26-year-olds as well. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of native Californians on this team. I'm talking about players like Lilia Vu, Allison Corpuz, Angel Yin, Rose Zhang. A lot of these players, Stacey, as you knew, they grew up together competing in the AJGA. How much flexibility does that give you that these players really have known each other for such a long time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be really helpful. I mean, they, like you said, they've played Curtis Cups. They've played AJGA events together. You know, we've got five rookies, but they're not rookies. I mean, they played a lot of LPGA Tour golf. I mean, two of our rookies have won major championships this year. So I don't really classify them as rookies anymore in my head. But yeah, we were joking that Allie's, I think, now the oldest one on the team. So we're inexperienced as far as maybe the Solheim Cup itself looks, but we're not inexperienced in experience itself. And you know, I like the youth. I think it's going to bring a great element to the team room. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm as excited to see how they handle the moment.
Rose Zhang and Allison Corpuz had a pretty good record in Walker Cup as well. Stacey, do you already have some pairings in your mind that you're going to send out? Would you care to share any of them in case Suzanne Pedersen's watching today?
I can't share any pairings yet, but yes, I did notice their Curtis Cup record. They did go undefeated there. So yeah, I mean, we have looked back at past Solheim Cups, past Curtis Cups, you know, who's paired well together. But yeah, there's several pairings that are kind of set in stone already in my head. But we were kind of unsure of that last spot with Andrea yesterday. So now that we know Andrea's in there, we can dive in a little bit more.
Stacey, you said this was a pretty stress-free process. I look at Allison Lee, six top 20s this season. She has Solheim Cup experience. Marina Alex as well. She has Solheim Cup experience from 2019. How difficult was it to leave Allison Lee and Marina Alex off this team?
It was tough. You know, that honestly has been the hardest part. That was the hardest part of my job was telling them no yesterday. And I, you know, just to see that disappointment on their faces, a couple of them knew it. You know, they knew they hadn't played well enough in their heads. And, but yeah, it was hard. And, you know, just tried to talk to them about using it as motivation going forward. We got another Solheim Cup coming up in a year. And, you know, just to try to motivate them more than anything. But it was the end of the day yesterday was tough for me. And but, you know, I think you're probably going to see both of them on another Solheim Cup before their careers are done.
Stacey, the qualification process for the Solheim Cup It's quite a long process, and people play well at different stages of it. Lexi Thompson's game has been very off by her standards over the last couple of months. Are you in any way concerned about Lexi's form as you head to Spain, or are you hoping that this Solheim Cup will just kind of light a fire in her again?
To be honest, I think the Solheim Cup will light a fire in Lexi. I think she, you know, she's aware of the struggles, but I think the best part about Lexi right now is how well she has handled the poor play. She continues to work hard. She continues to go home and work on it. There's no give up in Lexi, and that's what we need on this team. And every one of her teammates know that Lexi is going to grind it out. She is going to keep trying. There is literally no quit in her. And I think everybody on this team wants her there. And that's the most important thing. She's going to have a different role. We're going to be looking for her more behind the scenes of leading the team, of stepping up and, you know, helping these rookies get to where they need to be on time and making sure they understand what's happening. So her role is just going to be different. And I think she's okay with that. And hopefully it helps, you know, take some pressure off of her game too.
Stacey, as you know, one of your predecessors, Julie Inkster, was less about the decals and pomp and circumstance and more about bringing your hard hat. How do you balance the seriousness of trying to win versus having fun as well?
Yeah, I mean, number one, this thing is about fun. That's been my goal for this team, is I want them to leave Spain having the best week of their lives. I want them to have fun. I want them to be themselves. I think, you know, personalities and getting to be yourself can kind of be lost sometimes in these team environments. And I think it's important. You know, so we're trying to add some flexibility to practice. We're trying to make their routines and their weeks more like normal weeks on tour. But I mean, I think this thing is, it's about enjoying it. The golf is hard. It's stressful. And I know the personalities of these girls and the way they've been towards me, I know they're going to work hard. I know they're not going to give up. And so I'm not worried about that at all.
Every time the U.S. team travels overseas, whether it's Solheim Cup or in Ryder Cup, Stacey, we hear a lot about how the course is going to be set up by the Europeans to advantage their particular style of play. What are you expecting the test to be in Spain? And is there any kind of reconnaissance that the team is going to be able to get in before the actual matches?
Yeah, so we, unlike Ryder Cup, we don't have as much say over course setup like the guys do. But, you know, the golf course itself is actually fairly short. It's very hilly, windy, can be windy. When I was there last year, it was not windy at all. So who knows what we'll see week of. But it can be windy at times. And so it's more, I'm going to give those things to my team and have them be preparing at home, you know, preparing for playing in the wind, preparing for uneven lies. And then we're going to use these next 2 weeks of tournaments to get the right people playing together in practice rounds that maybe haven't before, and just to get the girls thinking about playing different golf balls, things like that, so we can be prepared when we get on that plane.
Stacey, your counterpart Suzanne Pedersen last week said this was Europe's best team ever. I think that was a bogey. Can you use that in some form or fashion as motivation for your team?
Well, she might not be wrong. Let's just say that. I mean, the European team is stacked. I mean, they're top, that core, really, that core six that they have is as good as it's ever been. They have the passion, they have the fire, they have the momentum right now in the Solheim Cup. So, I mean, I don't think this team's going to need any motivation. I think we've lost the last two, and I think that's motivation enough in itself. Europe's strong, and I don't know what it looks like on paper with rankings and all that stuff, and frankly, I don't care. You know, our team's a little bit of the underdog. We got five rookies going overseas, and they got to go prove themselves.
Stacey, you mentioned how difficult it was to make some of those calls in the last 24 hours to players who weren't actually going to make your team. But how much changed in terms of what you felt your team looked like, say, before the last week's tournament in Canada versus what you end up with this morning? Was there much shape-shifting going on?
No, to be honest. Really, in my head, the team hasn't really changed the last probably month and a half. Just with when you really dive into stats and know the numbers, you know when good golf is coming, you know who is playing well. So nothing's a surprise. Megan last week was not a surprise. You could see it coming. We've really been set on kind of 13, 14 for a while now. And, my list throughout the last year and a half has gotten a lot smaller. Now, does the team look a lot different from a year ago? Absolutely. Rose jumping in there, Jess being injured. There's definitely been some shuffling over the last year, but not within the last month.
I know the Stacey Lewis, the player, winning in the California desert, stacking it on 17 and 18 at the Old Course. Who is Stacey Lewis, the captain?
Stacey Lewis, the captain, is probably the most over-prepared and organized person you've ever seen. And just trying to check all the boxes so that when we get to Spain, we can have fun and we can let loose and relax. And you're probably going to see a lot more smiles, a lot looser Stacey as a captain than as a player, for sure.
Well, we appreciate the time. Best of luck. Save that voice. You might need it over all those chants of ole, ole, ole. And we'll speak to you soon. Thanks so much, Captain.
Awesome. Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
And as Stacey Lewis mentioned, the U.S. team is trying to reverse a recent trend. They've lost the last two to Europe, and they've actually lost four of the last six matches to Europe. Haven't won since 2017, Damon. And I actually thought the surprising part of Stacey's conversation there was how set her team was. She said a month and a half ago she kind of knew who it was. And there aren't really surprises here. I mean, even the three captains' picks were finished 9th, 11th and 12th in the actual points list here. But it's a very, very solid team from top to bottom. And, you know, we talk about the five rookies. That's a challenge for most captains. Two of her rookies, as she pointed out, have won majors, and another one is Rose Zhang.
Yeah.
That's not exactly a kind of a weakness in this team.
This team is loaded. And I'm with you. I was also struck by the fact that she felt that most of the team was already set. You know, conversely, in the men's game, you know, spent the whole week talking about, oh, who has a chance to impress Zach Johnson? It sounds like Stacey Lewis had a plan. She's had it for a month or so, and that not a lot changed. This team has a lot of versatility. So many players in their 20s who have accomplished so much. They have played on Junior Ryder Cups, Junior Solheim Cups, Arnold Palmer Cups, Curtis Cups, success in the U.S. Amateur, Women's Amateur, Danielle Kang, Rose Zhang. These are players with match play experience. I also think they have a lot of personality and swag. And I'm in particular thinking of Angel Yin, who's a big personality, who hits the golf ball a long way, and she's not alone in that.
Were you surprised when she said that Lexi will have a different role here, getting players ready, sort of coaching them along, making sure they are where they need to be? That would suggest that we shouldn't expect to see Lexi Thompson playing a lot of matches.
It's a great point. I think, in the last decade, you would see a Christy Kerr kind of shepherding a Lexi Thompson along. Now Lexi is one of the elder statesmen on this team with a bunch of 25-year-olds and 24 and 26. Lexi's 28. That makes her one of the oldest members of this team. I think her role is different now. You know, gone is Paula Creamer and Michelle Wee. You know, Morgan Pressel will be there, but her role now is as an assistant captain. Christy Kerr, not a part of this team. So that means some players like Danielle Kang and Lexi Thompson will have to take on a different role in Spain.
Well, that's what veterans are for, right?
Yes.
Well, they don't pay you for Solheim Cup play, but Victor Hovland certainly got his share of the spoils yesterday on the PGA Tour. $18 million, to be exact. We're going to revisit his win in the FedEx Cup Championship coming up next.
Golf Today rolls on this Monday. Check out some of Victor Hovland's best highlights of the season. December, successfully defending his Tyler Tigers event, the Hero World Challenge. Unofficial victory, but still recognized by the official world golf ranking, moved him up to number 9 in the world. How about winning Tiger's event and then winning Jack's event, Memorial Tournament, for his 4th official PGA Tour victory? First in the U.S., beat Denny McCarthy in a playoff, and since its inception has remained one of the most coveted wins on tour because it comes with one of the most coveted handshakes on tour with Jack himself. And then less than 24 hours after the win, there he was, back out on the golf course, this time as a caddy for his former Oklahoma State teammate and roommate, Zach Boshu, enduring golf's longest day, U.S. Open qualifying. What a guy.
And the good times kept on rolling, Damon. Last week, he won the second leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs, the BMW Championship. Did so in pretty good style. He shot a final round course record 61 at Olympia Fields to finish 2 strokes better than Matt Fitzpatrick and Scotty Scheffler. And he kept that momentum as he rolled into Eastlake in the championship. In the final round yesterday, here he was from 23 feet on 14. And this, Damon, seemed to be the momentum sustainer.
I mean, how about the putt? And the reaction was big as well. He knew it. Kept his 3-shot lead at that point. He birdied 16. Now here he is at 17.
And this from 11 feet for yet another birdie. End over end, right in. Got him to 26 under, and the lead was 5.
Yeah, at this point he's starting to run away. 18th hole, par 5. His third from the greenside bunker.
Tremendous improvement in his short game. He gets that one to 7 feet.
Still got his game face on, not ready to celebrate just yet. This, the winning moment.
For 63. Another title, $18 million check. And the honor of being the FedEx Cup champion for 2023. And here's where he ranks him on the youngest FedEx Cup champions. He's just 25 years, 11 months, 9 days old, the third youngest of all time, with Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy. That's some pretty rarefied air. And after the win, he was asked if he feels as though he belongs.
As you look back on the last few years, I mean, what, like, when was there a point where you kind of realized, okay, I belong here? And then maybe even more recently, a point where you feel like you can really be with the best? Kind of, what do you think you can be going forward?
It took me, I'd say, even as an amateur, I was lucky enough to play a couple of PGA Tour events as an amateur. I played a couple of majors as an amateur, and that experience was really good for me because I'm very hard on myself, and I felt like even though I had the game to compete, I never truly believed it. But after I had a couple of nice finishes in those professional events as an amateur, I started to believe a little bit more. I came out on tour. I got my card right away, and kept on just putting up good finishes, and that's when I kind of believed that, man, I don't have to play my best game and still be up there and still be really competitive. But at the time, I didn't have all the tools, and ever since then, I've just kind of improved all the time. I've just gotten better and better every single year, and with that comes the belief, and I feel like the belief was the last missing piece.
Victor, as nice as you seem to be in person, and what level would you give your killer instinct?
I don't think it's something that's been innate in me, but it's, I just seem to, you know, especially the last couple of weeks when I'm in contention, and I've failed a lot of times in that spot. I think I've just learned from it, and instead of, you know, when I make one mistake and I'm in contention, seeing kind of the snowball go the wrong way, and I'm like, man, is this going to happen again? Or come on, you know, why did you just do that? And those thoughts kind of come into your head. I think I was, I don't know, I think just me slowing everything down and not showing a lot of emotion kind of helps me calm myself down, and I can perform at a higher level. That's the least how I can explain it. But, you know, I think I'm just not the guy, if I make a putt, go absolutely crazy. I might give it a little fist pump, but the less emotions I can kind of give away when I'm in contention, I think it's the better for me.
How much do you think about money when you play, and how much did you think about money this week, if at all?
Obviously, it's a lot of cash you're playing for. I mean, it's in the back of your mind. But I live in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Money goes a long ways there. It's not like I'm spending money out the wazoo every week. I don't need a lot to be happy. I don't need a lot to live within my means. So obviously it's nice for, you know, for my family to have that protection and my, you know, eventual kids that I'll have in the future. It's nice to have that, but it's not something that drives me. It's not something that gives me, you know, meaning. I find meaning in other places, but obviously with how society works, money is something you need.
And then back to Cam's money question. After back-to-back wins, is your Chipotle order going to be any different with maybe the little financial security?
I'm a man of routine, so I kind of stick to the same order. But haven't had Chipotle in a little while. Maybe it's time to switch it up again.
Well, he's a man of his word. Check this out. His first meal after the win, Chipotle, of course. Looks like he ordered extra guacamole. There's a small upcharge for that, but I think Victor can handle it. And boy, did he handle the FedEx Cup playoffs. I tell you what, a lot of wisdom in the way he speaks, a lot of gravitas. I love the way he plays. He took a weakness. I don't think he turned his short game into a strength, but he made it competent. And I think he's an improved green reader, as his college coach told us. But I tell you what, this party over the last couple of years of Jon Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, and Rory McIlroy, Victor Hovland now has a seat at that table, in my opinion.
He really does. Number four in the official World Golf Rankings as well. And you're right that he hasn't necessarily turned what was a weakness into a strength, but he's certainly diffused it as a weakness. And he's top 10 in ball striking on the PGA Tour. He's always been top 10 in ball striking as long as he's been out there. But it's interesting to just see how much he has improved his game around the greens. I mean, he was 11th in the field at East Lake. That's actually middle of the pack in a 30-man field out there. But he's middle of the pack for the season as well, 97th in strokes gained around the greens. He was 191st in that category on tour last year. And in his fairly short career to this point, he's never ranked better than 124th in that category until this year. So that's a testament to the work that he's done with Joe Mayo. And he's talked about it yesterday, how analytical he is, how he tends to kind of segment his game and figure out what needs to be worked on. And he's always been very open about that. You know, he famously said on video, you know, my chipping sucks. You don't hear elite players openly admit to weaknesses like that very often. We heard Lucas Glover do it with his putting, and he's mitigated that weakness as well. Victor's was still a weakness when he admitted it was a weakness, and it's just simply not anymore. He's a guy who can probe for answers without getting lost in a rabbit hole of too much information. And that's a real strength in this game, because it's very easy for these guys to just completely get lost in the forest while they're looking for the trees, basically.
A 61 outside of Chicago, a 63 to close out these FedEx Cup playoffs. You know, Xander Schauffele threw the kitchen sink at Victor Hovland, and Victor came back with the tub, if I can borrow Andy Roddick's phrase. I mean, just how good was the golf? How much of an elevation of this event have we seen when you have two of the best players in the world throw a 62 and a 63 in the final round of what is one of the most important two events on the PGA Tour schedule, being the Players and the FedEx Cup finale?
We've had a lot of events lately that have ended in playoffs or one-stroke victories here and there, a lot of tight finishes. This was, in its way, a tight finish. It was just two guys who had separated themselves from the field. And to all credit to Xander Schauffele, I mean, he'll get knocked by some people again that it's another second-place finish. But this isn't a second-place finish. He won the mortals division of this tournament in the same way that Jack won the mortals division against Tom Watson in the 77 Open. Victor Hovland was playing golf on an entirely different level. And when you factor in the staggered stroke system, obviously they both shot 19 under par for the week. They were both miles better than the rest of the field out there. Both of them are going to leave with their heads held high this week for sure. But Victor Hovland is currently on a roll that you just hope he can sustain. At least I can hope he can sustain in Rome.
Yeah, no question about it. And Xander Schauffele continues his love affair with East Lake. He's now played 7 Tour Championships, never finished worse than tied for 7th. Take a look at the leaderboard one more time because it is worth looking at again. So special. You see those final rounds, 62 and 63 for Xander and Victor, respectively. Make an argument those are two of the best players without a major championship. That could change in 2024. And speaking of major champs, Morgan Pressel joins us with Golf Today Returns. She's headed to Spain in just a few weeks to serve as an assistant captain for Stacey Lewis. We get her reaction to the captain's picks after the break. Back on Golf Today, time now for Road to Solheim Cup, presented by Ping. U.S. Captain Stacey Lewis announced her three captain's picks earlier today on Golf Today. You see them at the bottom of your screen. Allie Ewing, Cheyenne Knight, and Angel Yin to round out her squad of 12.
Damon, one player who knows a little something about competing in the Solheim Cup is Morgan Pressel. She was the youngest player to automatically qualify for the 2009 squad at the age of 21, posted a 2-0-1 record for the victorious team. Pressel also delivered the clinching point with her 3-2 victory over Anna Nordqvist at Rich Harvest Farms. Member of six teams in the Solheim Cup of the United States and compiled quite a record along the way, Morgan Pressel. An 11-8-3 career record in this event. As a 19-year-old rookie back in 2007, she took down the legendary Annika Sörenstam in singles as the U.S. rallied for a 16-12 victory. She also went 4-0-0. In 2011. We're pleased to be joined now by Morgan Pressel. Morgan, you've played obviously on six of these teams. How does this team, as an assistant captain for you, stack up against the squad you played on?
It's been a lot of fun for me to be part of this team in a different fashion, being on six teams. By far the highlights of my careers over the years, it's such an honor to wear red, white, and blue, to play for your country. It's just a different type of adrenaline rush than you get from being in any other competition you play as a golfer. And it's been so much fun to watch this team, specifically this year, come together. Stacey, Angela, Natalie, and I have been really paying a lot of attention, especially to those maybe on the bubble as of late. And just to now, today, have the team fully finalized, know who's going to Spain. I think the camaraderie is fantastic. We've even seen that this morning with the four players that are here with us today. I'm so excited. I cannot wait to get to Spain. And, you know, these players, they're playing some incredible golf. Look at Megan King winning yesterday. Lilia Vu, of course, Allison Corpuz. You know, we've had some really tremendous American victories as well. And then to see the captain's picks today really round out the team, it's been awesome.
Morgan, you've been a qualifier. You've also been a captain's pick. Is there a difference? Does the captain's pick perhaps face a little more pressure than a qualifier?
I don't feel that way. And I don't think that any of these players feel that way either. Once you get there, and that's certainly part of the captain's job as well, is it's one team. Nobody's a pick. Nobody qualified first on points. You're all there for the same goal, to try and bring the cup back to the United States. It's been a long 4 years, and playing on both sides, I don't believe that a captain's pick should be treated any differently by anybody. They earn their spot on the team, and they will be there wearing red, white, and blue proudly.
Five rookies on this team, Morgan, although it's hard to think of them as rookies when you've got a couple of major winners and Ro Zhang in that category of rookies. But what do you remember about the nerves of being a rookie that the veterans are going to help these rookies through?
Yeah, we do have a lot of rookies, and with that comes some fresh blood, a little bit of a changing of the guard, so to speak, of this American team. But like you said, they are tremendous players. They're not short in experience, especially in really, really big competitions. For me, in Sweden, I just remember I was so fired up. I was so excited to get out there. It didn't matter how cold it was. I was absolutely freezing. But I remember, just alternate shot, foursomes was the first format, and just hitting that first tee shot, I was so nervous. Still to this day, every single Solheim Cup, whether you're a rookie or a veteran, I mean, in Germany in 2015 was the most nervous I have ever been to hit a single golf shot in my entire life on that first tee. It just has a different feel to it. Standing on that tee, people cheering, the crowds, the energy, playing for your team, not so much just as an individual as we do every other week of the year. The veterans will. I remember Joanne Carner, in, I believe it was in Sweden, in my first Solheim Cup, said that they would put chapstick on their teeth because their mouths would be so dry. And I very vividly still remember that. And we do have a lot of former captains coming to give us some advice. Of course, the crew leading the squad, Stacey, is just on top of just about everything and will be fully prepared, make sure those rookies are fully prepared for that first tee shot.
Well, I imagine there's a big difference between playing at home versus playing on the road. What are those opportunities like on the road? Is it silencing the crowd? Is it showing off to them? What's the mindset like on the road?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely silencing the crowd. That's always been, when we've played abroad, our team room meetings, things like that, are all about silencing the crowd. You want to hear just a little bit of a hush over the crowd. And, you know, we have certainly quite a few fans coming to travel, family, friends from the United States that are going to come and cheer and be as loud as they possibly can, but they're still not going to outnumber the European fans. And we know that going in, and especially going in against such a tough European squad, having lost the two Solheim Cups, you know, we have to go out and prove ourselves. And I think this team is ready to do just that.
You just mentioned, which I was about to mention, Morgan, you have actually lost the United States team the last two to Europe, lost four of the last six. Is that a little bit of extra pressure on the US team when the trend seems to be going against you? Two, you know, close match last time out, but the trend is going against the US team right now.
The matches have been exceptionally close, and I've been on both sides. I've been on winning teams, and I've been on losing teams. And it's fun regardless, but it is a lot more fun to be part of that winning squad. And I don't know if it's so much pressure as motivation. I think it's real motivation for this team that we don't want to lose three in a row, and we are really stacked up with the quality of players on our team, just incredible performers under pressure. They know what we have to do. And Stacey, of course, we're already working through pairings and ways to really maximize the players that we have on the team to get as many points as possible in Spain.
Morgan, we know how much you love the Solheim Cup. You'll shine in this role. Thanks for the time. We'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Victor Hovland is the undisputed king of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Two wins and a lot of cash to show for his efforts. But is the pride of Norway a serious candidate for PGA Tour Player of the Year? And the most talked about woman in golf in 2023 is here, Rose Zhang. She's only been a professional for a hot minute, but she's already about to make her Solheim Cup debut. And today she got three new teammates, the captain's picks, who will round out the US team trying to avoid a third straight loss to Europe in the Solheim Cup, are joining us too as Golf Today continues.
...2023 Solheim Cup quickly approaching as the best women's players from Team USA and Team Europe will compete at Finca Cortesin in Andalucía, Spain. First day coverage begins on Golf Channel September the 22nd. The automatic qualifiers, there you see them nine strong. But as mentioned earlier, Stacey Lewis had a little work to do.
Damon, she added a couple of veteran voices in here as well, as she just described them on our show. Ali Ewing and Angel Yin, both previous Solheim Cup players. Cheyenne Knight also rounds out the third player. All winners, except Angel Yin, who was a runner-up in the Chevron Championship this year. Wonderful year in the majors for Angel Yin.
And Stacey Lewis joined us just a bit ago.
These girls they've all played their way onto the team. You know, it wasn't really too difficult for me, to be honest, and it got easier yesterday when Andrea went out there with a very, very clutch performance and finished 13th and jumped up into the points list. And my decisions were basically done because, you know, these three that I announced today, they were on my list prior, you know, for the last month or so. You know, I wanted them there. And I think it's the preparation. We've been very prepared behind the scenes with our stats and understanding their games that nothing's really been a surprise the last few weeks.
Stacey, going back to these three picks, I'm curious what specifically registered with each of these three women? Is it a case of the statistics that you mentioned? Mm-hmm. Is it balancing out skill sets? Is it personality fits in the team room? What were the metrics that mattered most to you in making this decision?
Yeah, so for each one, it was a little bit different. Allie, you know, I really wanted a veteran voice, a calming voice, and she's really solid. Tita Green, very solid, very consistent, can literally pair up with anybody. We've looked at all of our pairing stuff, and she's one that could play with almost anybody on the team. And then you go to Angel. Obviously, her play in majors was kind of caught my eye. She finished top 30 in every major this year. Her play on Bermuda grass also caught my eye there, and then her length. And then Cheyenne, just her overall play, just kind of like Allie, very consistent tee to green. She's very good around the greens. I think she went, I think, seven straight top 20 finishes early in the year and kind of capped it off with a win. So, again, it's just, it's good play more than anything, but then they individually have things that have helped us kind of fill up some spots on the team.
Stacey, the qualification process for the Solheim Cup, it's quite a long process and people play well at different stages of it. Lexi Thompson's game has been very off by her standards over the last couple of months. Are you in any way concerned about Lexi's form as you head to Spain, or are you hoping that this Solheim Cup will just kind of light a fire in her again?
To be honest, I think the Solheim Cup will light a fire in Lexi. I think she, you know, she's aware of the struggles, but I think the best part about Lexi right now is how well she has handled the poor play. She continues to work hard. She continues to go home and work on it. There's no give up in Lexi, and that's what we need on this team. And every one of her teammates know that Lexi is going to grind it out. She is going to keep trying. There is literally no quit in her. And I think everybody on this team wants her there. And that's the most important thing. She's going to have a different role. We're going to be looking for her more behind the scenes of leading the team, of stepping up and, you know, helping these rookies get to where they need to be on time and making sure they understand what's happening. So her role is just going to be different. And I think she's okay with that. And hopefully it helps, you know, take some pressure off of her game too.
And here are the 12 ready to take on the Europeans at Finca Cortesín in Costa del Sol in Spain. And right now we're joined by a couple of the members, a couple California kids in Roseanne and Angel Yin. It's great to see you both. Angel, you've played on a couple of Solheim Cups. How would you describe to Rose what she's about to embark on?
I think it's just a ride of your life. I don't think there's anything else like Solheim in women's golf, honestly. And I honestly think you just have to experience it, and then you'll see. It's just amazing.
Rose, when Stacey was here earlier, she was very much aware of your Curtis Cup partnership with Alison Corpuz, the fact that you were undefeated. And she wouldn't give us any information on who the partnerships are going to be in Spain. Is that one that you would expect that might be resurrected in Spain with Alison?
100%. Alison and I are super close ever since Curtis Cup, and we were able to play four ball together, foursome, and both of us, our games and our personalities really click, so it wouldn't surprise me if Stacey put us together, but overall, I'm just excited to be with anyone on the team. I'm kind of a go-with-the-flow person, so whatever Stacey chooses, I'm sure it'll be a good pairing.
Rose, you have some pretty nifty match play trophies on your mantle. What does match play bring out of you differently than stroke play, if anything?
I would say match play definitely brings out the inner grind in me. I am not a quitter, so when I'm out on the golf course, I'm going to give it my 100%. And I like to say that I don't give away a lot of emotions as well, so that's definitely an asset for me when I'm out there competing against an opponent. And it kind of brings, I guess, some level of intimidation. But overall, I'm just pretty steady. So with not a lot of room for error or mistakes, it can definitely be a good asset for match play.
Angel, you told Rose earlier that there's nothing quite like the Solheim Cup in women's golf. You've been there before. What did you learn the last time around that you think is going to help you or make it a little bit easier to perform in that kind of situation this time around?
Last time I played was Glen Eagles, 2019, I believe. And obviously that's where Suzanne had her famous putt where she won the cup. And what I'm going to take away is just we're going to have to grind it out. Conditions aren't going to be easy on foreign soil on the European side. And I think we're just going to take hard work and head down, play the golf ball, try to get in the hole faster than them.
Angel, anybody who's followed your career knows that you are a baller. You turned pro, big personality, having fun with the long drive contests with Ann Van Dam. Then you struggled a little bit, but now it looks like you're back to the old Angel. How much do you feel like you have your groove back?
I honestly think I have my groove back and more. Had my years of struggle as years with an S. I think I've struggled for like two and a half years. And this year since Chevron has really, my game has shown up again, and I think it's better than before, which is I'm really grateful for.
That's not something the Europeans are going to like to hear, Angel. Rose, you've been in some high pressure situations, a lot of high profile rounds of golf that you've played over the last couple of years. You've just heard Angel talk about what the nerves can be like out there. And we heard Morgan Pressel say earlier that it was the most nervous she's ever been in her life. What are you anticipating on that first tee in Spain?
Oh, I 100% expect myself to kind of have the first tee jitters. I've been on to Junior Solheim Cups before, one in Des Moines, Iowa in 2017 and in 2019 Glen Eagles. But I was actually at the first tee in both events where all the girls on the professional side, they teed off and the crowds were cheering. There was a lot of cheers both on both teams, the U.S. and the European side. So there's a lot of energy, and I just remember thinking that what a place it is to be on that first tee and teeing it up. It would be quite nerve-wracking, and I was just saying how these girls are just so composed, especially with everything that's happening around them. So I'm expecting nothing less.
Well, I know a couple of California kids can handle anything thrown their way. Angel and Rose, thanks for the time and best of luck in Spain.
Thank you.
All right, when Golf Today returns, Solheim Cup veteran and 2023 U.S. assistant captain Angela Stanford going to join the program. What's the plan for taking back the Solheim Cup on foreign soil? We'll find out coming up next.
Golf Central Update, brought to you by Callaway Golf.
Someone we'll see on that U.S. Solheim Cup team, Megan Kang, broke through on the LPGA in Canada yesterday. First career victory, defeated Jin Young Ko on the first playoff hole to become the season's ninth Rolex first-time winner. What a duel. She had to birdie the 72nd hole just to get into said playoff. Struggled a little bit with that 74, but bounced back in the playoff. And good to see Jin Young Ko playing well once again.
And let's take a look at who stands where in the race to the CME Globe. Damon, with her win, Megan Kang earned 500 points, and she's projected to jump into the top 20 in the race to the CME Globe. But not surprisingly, the hot hand this summer, Celine Boutier, remains in the number one spot, right ahead of Lilia Vu. And there are two people who might find themselves facing off against each other in the Solheim Cup. And let's take a look again at that US team that has been finalized this morning. The 9 automatic qualifiers and the 3 captains picks added by Captain Stacey Lewis this morning. Ali Ewing, Cheyenne Knight and Angel Yin. And one of Stacey Lewis's backroom lieutenants is also a veteran of the Solheim Cup, Angela Stanford. She played on a multitude of teams, as a major champion as well.
Yeah, 7-time winner on the LPGA. She's won a major purveyor of the Saginaw Swing. That's Saginaw, Texas, not Saginaw, Michigan. She's had some moments in the Solheim Cup. How about this putt? Walking it in. Sunday singles. And hosting that beautiful crystal trophy. And the resume is strong. A 6-time member of the team. Native of Fort Worth. Went to TCU. An assistant captain for Stacey Lewis. And great to have Angela with us now. Angela, I stayed up late to watch Megan Kang do her thing. What kind of a jolt does it give this team when someone who's waited so long for a victory gets it on the eve of the captain's picks?
Oh, it's tremendous. So much excitement. She's going to bring that to Spain with her. And, you know, Megan has a lot of confidence, but sometimes you need that win to get you over that next level. So super excited for Megan. We've had a number of Americans win this year, and I know they're all excited to get to Spain.
Angela, what kind of captain has Stacey been here? Because some captains are very kind of regimented and they know what they know. Others have a more open dialogue in terms of what captain's picks and strategy is going to look like. Where is Stacey on that spectrum as a captain?
Well, Stacey's very organized. She likes to be prepared. She's been very open with Morgan and Natalie and myself. And, you know, I think she wants to make sure that we are all on the same page. Whatever she knows, she wants us to know. And now that's slowly filtering down to the team. I think she handled the picks very well. I think, you know, leading up to it, you know, we all were staying on the same page. There was never a surprise. So she's done a good job in that. She wants to be prepared, and now she wants her team to be prepared.
Angela, what are the pressures or perhaps opportunities of trying to win one of these on the road where almost everyone will be pulling against you?
Well, it was funny. I was telling them earlier, I absolutely love playing overseas in Solheim Cups. I played my 1 Curtis Cup overseas. You know, growing up playing other sports, I love going into other people's gyms. Or fields, or, you know, I loved it. I love that we're the underdog. I love that we're going to go in there and, you know, we have nothing to lose. And I love that, you know, we have our close family and friends there, but we have to be a tight-knit group and team. And you have to do that when you're on the road. And I think it's going to make us stronger. And I think that's why I love playing in Europe when we play the Solheim Cup. Obviously, playing in America is awesome, but you really have to be together when you go on the road. I've learned that in every sport I've played, and I love it, and I'm looking forward to that.
There were 3 really solid captain's picks added earlier by Stacey, Angela. And the last European Ryder Cup captain, Padraig Harrington, said he was always jittery about the idea of captain's picks on the basis that he felt as though a captain's pick was under a little bit more pressure that week, that they had to justify the vote of confidence that the captain had shown in them. Do you buy that argument, or do you think that these players won't feel that extra pressure?
You know, I've had a hard time buying that. I think it's something for the media to talk about. I think it makes great stories. But once we get on the plane, once we get in that team room, I don't care how you made the team. And I was like that as a player. I don't care how you're here, you're here. And I think that's how we've always approached it. You know, I think it becomes person to person, player to player. But for me as a teammate, for me as an assistant captain, I don't care how you're on the team. You're here and we're trying to win. So for me, I think they're good storylines. But once we get there, we're all 12 and we're all playing for one goal.
Angela, this is one of the youngest teams that we've seen. A lot of 25-year-olds, 24, 20 rows. How much more weight does an assistant captain's voice carry, considering there's no Christy Kerr, no Michelle Wee, Christina Kim, for example, on this team?
Well, I mean, honestly, sometimes that can, you know, a new slate is okay. I think different years, you need different things. I think this year, we're okay. You know, I think there are a lot of girls, Stacey said it earlier, a lot of these players are young, but they're really experienced. I mean, they've won some big tournaments. You know, Rose and the tournaments that she's played and won, I have a hard time thinking about her as a rookie. So on one hand, you know, they're so experienced, they're so young, but at the same time, they don't know any different. And going into this, it's a new experience. And when they go into new experiences, they've done really well.
We know that Stacey's going to be the captain again next year in the 2024 Solheim Cup, Angela, as eventually the Solheim Cup moves its way back onto an even year schedule. So the job's not going to be yours next year, but is this something you aspire to? Would you like to be the Solheim Cup captain?
Well, I would think anybody that's played a Solheim Cup would tell you they would love to be the captain. I've enjoyed being assistant with Stacey. I enjoyed being assistant with Pat. I think that, you know, you could probably tell by my career, I'm a late bloomer. And so as much as I can learn along the way, if I ever get that opportunity, I would absolutely love it. But I'm enjoying the role of learning and just kind of taking in as much as I can. So hopefully if I get that opportunity, I'll be ready.
Well, I know you'll add some straight talk and some toughness to this team, Angela. Best of luck in Spain, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, these are the women that Captain Stacey Lewis wanted to round out her army marching on Spain. We've already heard from Angel Yin. We're going to hear from Ali Ewing and Cheyenne Knight next. They are the captain's picks for Spain.
Back on Golf Today, time now for Road, the Solheim Cup presented by Ping 2017. Solheim Cup was contested at Des Moines Golf and Country Club in Iowa. The crowd's amazing. Sunday singles, Team USA won 5 matches to keep the Solheim Cup on U.S. soil with a 16.5-11.5 victory over Team Europe. 5-point margin was the U.S.'s largest since 1996. Yet Julie Inkster joining Judy Rankin as the only other woman to lead two victorious Solheim Cup teams. Recent results, not as good if you're a fan of the United States Solheim Cup team. Lost a couple in a row, lost 4 of the last 6, but 10-7 overall in the favor of the red, white, and blue. So let's take a look at the collective 12 tasked to bring the Solheim Cup back to the United States. See the captain's picks at the bottom, made by Stacey Lewis earlier on Golf Today. Ali Ewing, Cheyenne Knight, and Angel Yin. And Ali and Cheyenne join us right now. We appreciate the time. I know you're busy. Cheyenne, you actually won the 2012 KPMG Stacey Lewis Junior Girls Open. What are you most looking forward to in playing for her as captain?
Yeah, I'm so excited. I have really looked up to Stacey just throughout my golfing career, and Angela, them both being from Texas. And yeah, I played her AJGA event in 2012 and won it, and I still have the picture I took with her when she came out and did a clinic for us. So full circle moment, and I'm really excited to represent my country for the first time.
Ali, among your wins on the LPGA Tour is the Bank of America match play. So is it fairly safe to assume that you're quite comfortable in these head-to-head setups that you're going to find yourself in Spain?
Yes, I would definitely say match play is something that I really enjoy, but it's also something that I feel like I have, you know, a knack for. You know, I'm not undefeated by any means, but I love match play and just the grittiness that it brings out in you going head-to-head with someone. You not only are taking on the golf course, but you're taking on an opponent, which is unique to the golf and match play. So it's a form of golf that we don't get to experience very often, match play for our, you know, Bank of Hope tournament as well as Solheim are your rare opportunities, and getting to represent your country, like Chan said. It's a unique experience, and it is honestly one of the best weeks of my life.
You know, Ali, I'm struck by the cohesion opportunities for this team. You got a bunch of 20-somethings. You got a bunch of Californians. You got a couple of SEC players sitting there, Mississippi State and Alabama. How versatile do you think this team could potentially be?
Yeah, really versatile. We obviously have some seasoned vets. We have some rookies on our team. But I think overall, you're going to see 12 players come together, and we're going to compete together for a common goal, and that's to get the cut back on U.S. soil. And regardless of where you come from, how much experience you have, how old you are, the team room is a unique place, and it's where we will try to form really good bonds that carry over, hopefully, to great golf on the golf course.
Shannon, you're one of five rookies on the team this year. We just heard Rose Zhang say that when she played Junior Solheim Cup, she stood around the first tee and she saw what that energy and pressure was like. And Morgan Pressel told us she'd never been more nervous hitting a tee shot in her life. Are you going to be asking the veterans out there for some kind of advice to deal with that situation that you're about to find yourself in?
Yeah, for sure. I'll definitely lean on Stacey, Angela, Morgan, and Natalie, just with their experience, and even Allie, just girls that have experienced it before. I've never played Junior Solheim Cup or Curtis Cup in my junior and amateur career, so I know it's going to be a whole new experience, and, you know, going on Europe soil, we're definitely going to kind of be the underdogs. There's going to be a lot of Team Europe fans, and just dealing with that environment, and definitely pick their brain about, and I know that the nerves are something that you're just going to have to handle, and I think just this is one of my lifetime goals, and just really embrace the moment and the opportunity, and yeah, again, this is my first time representing my country, and it's the highest honor, so the nerves and the pressure is going to be something that I'm going to have to deal with, but I'm looking forward to picking everyone's brain and just kind of just enjoying the whole week.
You know, Cheyenne, Stacey said earlier that sometimes in a team environment, individual personalities can get lost, and she doesn't want that to happen. So what personality and character will you bring to this team? High energy, all business, goofball, laid back? What are you going to bring to this Solheim Cup team?
Oh, gosh. I would say I'm a pretty laid-back personality, but I just love the team format. Me and my teammate Elizabeth Sokol won the team event a few weeks ago, and just I feel like I'm a pretty positive, kind of lighthearted person and just enjoying the moment for how it is. But at my Alabama days, when we were in the national championship, the final match, I was definitely a little bit fiery, so I think you can kind of get a little bit from me, but I think I just am... Just, I think I'm going to be really positive, a good teammate, just really soak it all in, and I hope that I can just bring, like, some positive energy and a light to the team room.
Allie, in the conversation we just had with Angela Stanford, I mentioned how the last European Ryder Cup captain, Padraig Harrington, felt that captain's picks always had a little bit of extra pressure to justify that vote of confidence that had been placed in them, which Angela doesn't buy at all. She says no one cares how you got on the team once you're on the team. How do you feel about that now as a captain's pick? Do you feel as though you have any little extra added pressure to justify Stacey Lewis's vote of confidence in you?
Absolutely not. I'm going to agree 100% with Angela here. I feel like the captains have obviously trusted my game. I've obviously been playing some pretty solid golf. There is a ton of pressure in and of itself when it comes to Solheim. But the whole gist of what we're doing is we are trying to go all give it our best. And regardless of if you're a pick, if you qualified automatically, we're going there with a common goal. And I can guarantee you I'm going to play my heart out just like anyone else on the team. So there's no added pressure. I think the desire's there, and we're all going to show up there ready to just, you know, leave it all on the line and hopefully bring the cup back.
Allie and Cheyenne representing the USA and the SEC. Thank you and best of luck next month.
Thank you, guys.
Now, Victor Hovland is indisputably the man of the FedEx Cup playoffs. He won the season-long race to the Cup. But is he the player of the year on the PGA Tour? We're going to argue about that one right after the break. We're back on golf today. Yesterday at East Lake in Atlanta, Victor Hovland cruised to a five-shot victory in the Tour Championship to claim the FedEx Cup title. He began the final round with a six-shot lead, which had a 7-under par 63, which is the lowest final round score by a Tour Championship winner. And coming on the back of a Sunday 61 at the BMW Championship the week earlier, it gets a lot of attention, and it certainly got the attention of Luke Donald, the European Ryder Cup captain, who took notice of it with this post on X. I walked three matches with Victor at the last Ryder Cup. He was great tee to green, but his short game and putting let him down. He told me he wasn't clutch enough. Well, he's about as clutch as they come now. What a year, what a finish, what a guy. FedEx Cup champ.
No question about it. How about the season that was for the 25-year-old FedEx Cup champ? Three wins, Memorial, BMW, and Tour Championship. That's high quality. Nine top tens in 23 starts. Zero missed cuts. And he's climbed from 11 to 4 in the OWGR since the 2022 Tour Championship. So time now for buy or sell. Is Victor Hovland the PGA Tour POY, Player of the Year, in?
He's the POP, which is Player of the Playoffs, I guess. I mean, you would argue, I suppose, if we're putting Victor in this conversation, there are three names in it: Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm, Victor Hovland. And I think all of them have been number one in different ways. Scottie Scheffler is clearly the statistical number one for the year. I mean, he led in scoring average. He's the world number one in rankings. There are so many ball-striking categories that Scottie Scheffler has put a performance in that is almost peerless, almost at Tiger Woods level in terms of his tee to green performance. Two victories seems a pauperish return for what he has put up statistically. John Rahm, four wins. The Masters, been a little cool in the second half of the year. And Victor got hot late. But we have seen in the past, particularly a few years ago with Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy vote for Player of the Year among their peers, that the players tend to value the FedEx Cup title more than perhaps fans do. They recognise what went into that victory. And we've seen that in the past. I don't think it's going to make a difference this year. I think John Rahm is the Player of the Year. I do think there's a fascinating vote between who's the second best Player of the Year. Is that Victor or is that Scottie Scheffler?
I think that's a tough one is what that is. I didn't think about the runner-up. I think clearly it's John Rahm. I think John Rahm is the MVP, and I think that Victor is the Super Bowl MVP, as it were. I think second, gosh, the ball-striking numbers, tee to green, the number of top 12 finishes in a row, I'd probably lean Scottie. I think it's easy to be, I don't want to say a prisoner of the moment, because when you shoot 61 on Sunday and then back it up with a 63 on Sunday, I can understand if some people think that Victor Hovland is the Player of the Year. But for my money, four wins, a major over a player who has three wins, as quality as those wins are for Victor Hovland, I'd probably go Rahm, Scheffler, Hovland on my golf podium, as it were.
And as we also saw in 2019, in the McIlroy Koepka vote, the players also vote. They seem to consider the players as the equal of major championships in that. And Scheffler has put up a staggering level of consistency this year, which might be there as well. But you look at Victor Hovland, he says, OK, well, he won against a great field on a tough golf course at the Memorial. He then goes and says, OK, here's the 50 best golfers on the PGA Tour. What have you got?
Yeah.
Victor takes them down and says, give me your best 30 and I'll do it again.
Yeah.
So he is beating very high quality fields in those three victories, which is not what he was doing in the earliest days of his career when he was winning, for instance, say, the Puerto Rican Open, and where it wasn't a field as strong as he was going to face in these elevated events now. And, you know, we have these what are now referred to as signature events this year, and he's got three of them on his mantelpiece. So he's making a case, but I still don't think it's not a popularity contest, because they're all popular guys among their peers, which has not always been the case in this kind of vote. But I still can't see anyone quite edging John Rahm.
Yeah, John Rahm beat some pretty good players at Augusta and in L.A. and on Maui as well. And I'm glad you brought up 2019, because at that time, you'll recall, Brooks Koepka was kind of saying, not even kind of saying, he was saying he was all about the majors. You know, and here was Rory McIlroy, this PGA Tour devotee, you know, and he wins the Players in 2019 and the FedEx Cup in 2019, two of the signature events run by the PGA Tour. I think his PGA Tour loyalty back in 19, especially versus Brooks's more laissez-faire attitude toward PGA Tour events, also weighed into that vote as well.
Yeah, and we can't forget that we ain't voting for it. The folks on Twitter aren't voting for it either. The fans don't vote for it. This is the players voting for their peers, and that's often the deciding factor.
One thing we can agree on, it's been one heck of a season. How about inside the numbers, PGA Tour season in review? 47 events. Now, check this out. 18 international players won 24 events. 18 Americans won 23 events. They'll sell it in Rome, perhaps. Two first-time major winners, Wyndham Clark, Brian Harman. Youngest winner, my guy, Tom Kim. Oldest winner, more than double his age, in Lucas Glover. Special season, in my opinion, especially inside the ropes.